What's the difference between constructive correction, destructive criticism, and outright persecution? And how do we respond to these things?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am triply blessed today, triply blessed to be on the air with you. Okay, first thing is, it's Monday, which means a brand new week of radio broadcasting. So my privilege, my joy to be on the air with you here on The Line of Fire. Second, I'm on Long Island, broadcasting live from the beautiful WLIX studios on Long Island in Medford. I grew up on the island, fell into sin on the island, came to the Lord on the island. My mom, sister, brother-in-law, nephew, and his wife still live on the island. So thrilled to be here. And number three, I got a lovely view, lovely office. I can see out into a parking lot. And yeah, because normally my office where I am is I'm surrounded by books, which is sweet, but I have no view. So I am triply blessed. So glad to be on the air with you. And I want to talk about something really practical, really helpful, really relevant, really life-changing. Now, if you have a question for me about a particular verse that's relevant or a situation you're going through, or you have a comment, an insight you'd like to add, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or to weigh in online, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. I'm going to give you the overview here, and then I want to share a few other things because I am on Long Island, a few other things that are relevant. But I want to talk to you about correction, criticism, and persecution. Constructive correction. When someone speaks the truth to you, and it may be negative, it may be hard to hear, may be difficult to deal with, but it's true and it's for your benefit. How do we respond to that? How do we deal with that? What's the difference between that and when someone is just out to be critical and judge you in a hurtful in a harmful way, and because of that, those words can be very damaging. How do you respond to destructive criticism? And then what about outright persecution? I mean outright persecution where people are trying to hurt you because you are standing for the gospel. And how do you distinguish between the three? What if you've got a persecution complex and every time someone tries to speak constructively to you and correct you, you run from it? What if you're so insecure and sensitive that when someone tries to help you, instead you just take it that they're trying to destroy you? Or what if when people are trying to destroy you, you're so self-conscious and trying to be humble that you're trying to take it in a positive way? How do we deal with the difference between constructive correction, destructive criticism, and outright persecution? I mean, one thing you're supposed to receive and be changed by, another thing you're supposed to rejoice in, another thing you're supposed to ignore. How do you sort these out? I'll tell you why I'm talking about these things. I'll let you know that in a little while. I'll share a couple of things that are on my mind because I'm on Long Island. Again, the number to call 866-34-TRUTH. But just something very quickly. There was a big boxing match over the weekend. Manny Pacquiao, who's a Filipino fighter who has had a resuscitation of his Catholic faith and maybe will be a born-again man. And he had a big fight with an American fighter, Timothy Bradley, clearly, decisively won the fight, no question about it. And the judges awarded the decision to his opponent. There's been outrage around the world because of the decision. But an interesting theory was put forward by one of my friends on Facebook. I want to address that when I come back. And not only that, I also want to talk to you about how my voice on the radio can be a help for you. And it ties in with the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, too. Ah, what in the world? I'm going to say, where are we going with that? Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Coming away live from WLIX Studios on Long Island, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Talking about the difference between constructive criticism or constructive correction, destructive criticism, and persecution. 866-348-7884. We respond to each of them differently. Some are destructive, some are life-changing, some are helpful, some can destroy us. How do we respond properly? I'll tell you what got me on that subject shortly, but just very quickly. The big fight over the weekend, boxing match, Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley, everyone that was there, all the boxing pundits said that Manny Pacquiao won decisively. I'm bringing this up on Christian radio for a moment, not to talk about sports. But clear consensus, Pacquiao wins the fight decisively. Bradley clearly loses in a competitive fight. And the judges see it otherwise and give a split decision to Bradley. So it's considered to be one of the worst boxing decisions in history. So some people said it shows boxing is a corrupt sport, proves that boxing is a corrupt sport, and it's obvious that somebody was behind the judges doing this. Somebody posted on my Facebook page and said, look, Manny Pacquiao a few weeks ago made some comments that as a Catholic that he didn't believe in same-sex so-called marriage. And the reporter reporting it then quoted Leviticus 20, which speaks about homosexuals being put to death, as if Manny Pacquiao had said that. So there was an outrage and all that. And he said, I never said it. I've got family members and friends who are gay. I just opposed redefining marriage because I'm a Catholic. Well, anyway, he got misquoted, misrepresented. There was an uproar about this, and the thing dies down. And, okay, this is his view. Fine. Go on with life. So somebody suggested that the decision went against Manny Pacquiao because of gay activist pressure on the judge. I see gay activists having a tremendous impact on our society negatively in many ways, as you know. I just met with 80 or 90 leaders on Long Island here this morning, and one of the things we talked about was what's happening in the society in this regard. But I personally do not think for a split second that gay activist pressure was on these judges, and that's why they rendered such a bogus decision. I would much rather say that either they just did a poor job or there was some corruption and payoff within boxing. So sorry, I don't go for that theory. Anyway, but let me tie this in more directly with the radio show. Let's say you're a sports fan and you followed that event and you're outraged. So you have a favorite columnist that you go to because you just want to hear them express their outrage, or you just want to hear them give a perspective, and it helps with your own sanity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's part of why we're on the radio here, to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. And because of that, when there are things happening in society that are outrageous, when there are things happening in the church that are grievous, when there are things that happen that you want to pull your hair out, tune into the radio broadcast, because we'll help bring sanity and clarity. We'll help you get your feet back down under you, get your perspective solid, remind you that Jesus is Lord, that he sits on the throne and rules and reigns, that God continues to be God. And even if there's chaos around us in the kingdom of God, there is order and there is stability. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I want to explain how I got to this topic today about the difference between correction, criticism, and persecution. I want to sort it out for you in a way that's relevant. There is someone calling from Boston, though, on a payphone. I don't remember the last time we got a call from a payphone. So before I introduce this subject fully to you, I'm actually going to take this call from Jeff in Boston. Jeff, I didn't know they had payphones anymore.
Oh yeah, they do. It's in this building, but here is the insight, because persecution is coming to this country. It will come to the church house. The church house is not preparing the people right, and I'll give you imagine in America 10, 20, 30 years from now, a church will be having service reading out of Matthew 24, and then you'll have Muslim jihadists outside the church firing AK-47s into that church, hitting the people inside the church, and then a warning comes from the leader of this jihadist group saying, this area is under Sharia law, shut down your church or else. And or else there'll be Molotov cocktails coming through the window, and then the survivors are told, renounce Jesus and turn to Islam, or we chop your hands off and then some.
Yeah, so here's just to jump in, Jeff, and say this. When I spoke in England in 1987, I asked the question to the Christians that I was ministering to, can you show me, can you guarantee me, can you show me in the Bible that England will not become a Muslim nation? When I said that, I mean, the reaction I got was such scorn and such shock that to try to soften my point, I said, hey, who's to say America couldn't become a communist nation? In other words, where is it written in the Bible? Well, England now, of course, it has shifted in so many ways. It is so unchristian in so many ways. General belief in God is so much down in the country. But if you look at the rise of Islam, I have heard this repeatedly, that more people go to mosques on Friday than to church services on Sunday. In England, and there are parts of England where they've recognized, okay, Sharia law may be the way to go here. Or can we incorporate Sharia law in the midst of British law? So who's to say, where is it written in the Bible that that could not happen here in America? It isn't written anywhere in the Bible. Exactly. And we are promised reproach and persecution for the gospel. For the most part, it has come verbally and through lawsuits. And we would have a lot more of it if not for the fact that we have so compromised with the world. And as Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured for his faith, observed years ago, that materialism is more dangerous than communism. But the fact is, as we stand up for what's right, Jeff, it's inevitable. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what we at least need to do, it's not like we need to have training against terrorists, you know, or have escape routes in our church buildings or things like that. But at the very least, we need to be educating the church in America about what believers are suffering all around the world. We need to pray at our congregation, Fire, every month. We pray for the suffering church, the persecuted church, to bring that to our attention, to remind us, and our grads that are in parts of the world where they're under persecution, other believers there, or there's real danger. We bring that to our folks, but most Americans live somewhat oblivious to that.
Exactly.
And we need to ask ourselves the question, if it was going to cost me my life or my livelihood to follow Jesus, would I do it? Or am I more of a convenience store Christian? So Jeff, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the need to awaken brothers and sisters in America to what's happening around the world. And to challenge it, I've said for many years, we all need to ask ourselves the question, am I willing to leave everything in America and live and die in the mission field if God called me to? Not that he's calling everyone to, but you can examine yourself. You could say, well, I wouldn't lay on this, and I'm devoted to this. Brings it to the surface. And another question, if God called me to stand up and obey him and it cost me my life, would I be willing to? To me, that's a fundamental question we all have to ask ourselves. As disciples, am I willing to follow Jesus at any cost or consequence? Jeff, thanks for getting us started. Let me take one more call before the break, and then I'll get further into our subject matter for today. Kevin in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to make a quick comment. I know you did want to beat on the Pacquiao fight and everything, but I got to say everybody was critical, or a lot of people were critical over his newfound commitment to God. And, you know, they were critical in the pre-fight shows. And what was the first thing he did when he lost the fight? He still gave all of his thanks to God. And, you know, he said, hey, I think I won the fight. But you know what? God has a plan, basically. You know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was very, very interesting. I saw his comments after the fight. And very interesting to see that here the guy clearly gets robbed. The kind of thing you're going to have an outrage over. You've been training day and night for months, and you put your life on the line, whether you like the sport or not. I'm not arguing that. You put your life on the line when you do it. And yet He said, yeah, we have to respect the sport, respect the judges. I felt I won, but we give it all to the Lord. And I thought, that's evidence of something happening. You may not like the idea he's a Christian boxer, but there's no question. And I know folks in the Philippines that said the man is really changed. Yeah, so that was a test. Come on, a major thing like that in a major sports event, you get robbed, and then you have a gracious attitude afterwards, and you seem to be at peace. I'd say that's genuine evidence. Thanks for pointing that out, Kevin. I appreciate it. All right, constructive correction, destructive criticism, outright persecution. How do we handle these things? We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me throw out a question for you. Do you think that there will be physical persecution of the church in America in the coming years? There have been some select unusual acts. If you look at the Columbine killings that took place over 10 years ago in Colorado, the murderers did target kids that were Christian. That was known fact. A high percentage of the kids that were killed or wounded were known Christians in the school, and some definitely targeted by name in advance. But beyond things like that, and beyond the ongoing legal persecution of believers and verbal persecution of believers, do you think and expect that physical attack on Christians will become more commonplace in America today, as it has been, say, in communist China, as it would be, say, in a Muslim country like Iran? Do you think that's coming our way here in America? Just your own expectation. You may have scripture for it. You may just have a sense in your heart. But do you expect that's coming? Do you think, on the other hand, that the history of Christianity in America and the strength of our Constitution and liberties would prevent that from happening? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay. The difference between constructive correction, destructive criticism, and outright persecution, they all come with words that could be on the surface saying something negative to us, saying something hurtful to us. But one is helpful, one is destructive, and one is to be dealt with in a totally different way. And someone sent me a comment recently that was made. They were asking for my response to it, a pastor in California. And shortly after he sent an email to us asking for a response, he did a little research from my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and found a detailed answer website with further information. He got online and, to his credit, did the research and got the answer. And then when we wrote to him subsequently, he wrote a very gracious email of encouragement back. And when I asked how can we help you, he said, basically, keep doing what you're doing, speaking what you're speaking, writing what you're writing. But the comment that he sent me not only had a question, it had an overt attack on me as a liar. And this is on a public website responding to one of my articles. And I thought to myself, how do I feel when I see those things? When I see people attacking me falsely, when I see people attacking me for doing what I know Jesus has called me to do, doing what I know is right in God's sight, doing what I know is in harmony with the Word of God and part of the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart, how do I feel when I read those words? Normally, my reaction is first blessing and encouragement in my own heart. First, I feel encouraged that I'm being spoken against for the sake of righteousness. And then I feel bad for the person involved. And sometimes I even take those words as something I've done more recently and turn them around. In other words, when someone says, no one's listening to this guy whatsoever, he's just this and this, I turn it around to say, obviously, people are listening, and the opposite is being written. Someone recently said, I'm a dangerous liar, and I knew in my spirit I'm dangerous to the kingdom of darkness because I'm exposing lies. I was, as you know, many of you know, I was recently put on a hit list, a watch list, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which used to be a respectable organization that would expose neo-Nazi groups and other hate groups, but now has gone so radically liberal that they put conservative Christians on their list, major family ministries and things like that. So I recently got put on the list, the SPLC's list, of new leaders, new activist leaders who are heading up the radical right, along with people like David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, along with people like Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is the head of the new Black Panther Party, along with white supremacists and neo-Nazis. And I tell you, when I found out I was on that list, it made my night. I went to sleep with a smile on my face. I was so encouraged because I knew it was for righteousness. And even when they were trying to nail me and speak against me and pulling quotes from A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages long, that book, you could find some juicy quotes if I was who they said I was. And in point of fact, what they quoted, there's nothing wrong with what they actually quoted. What they quoted, I read and thought, yeah, that's true and sound and accurate. And what makes me then a leader heading up the radical right? Now, again, they're calling me that is totally false in terms of what they mean by it. But in terms of reproach for the gospel, I rejoice over that. I take that as a compliment from heaven that I'm doing the right thing. What about destructive criticism? It's not outright persecution, but people who just have an axe to grind with you, people who misunderstand you, people who want to hurt you. What do you do when they speak a certain way? I'm going to expand on this. In fact, I'm going to be talking about this for 2 hours. And listening on WLIX today on Long Island, we're airing the second hour today as well. So you can actually read from 2 to 4 on Long Island today on WLIX. I mean, the FM signal across the island. So when destructive criticism comes my way, it can be a little wounding sometimes. But the first thing I try to do, and if I don't, Nancy will encourage me to, is to see, is there any truth in it? Is there anything in this that's being said that I need to hear, that I need to learn from, that I need to grow by? Is there anything true in it? And if not, you just cast it off. It's just false. It's nothing to do with who you are, nothing to do with what you're really doing. Cast it off. I'm going to expand on this and how you can distinguish these. What about constructive correction? What if it doesn't come in the right spirit? If it is constructive, if it is based on truth and for my own good, I have to be secure enough in the Lord and secure enough as a person to welcome it, knowing it is only going to help me be more like Jesus and only going to help me run the race more effectively and only going to help me serve you and others more. So different words, they can all sound negative in tone. They bring a different response. So I want to talk to you about the question, is persecution coming to Christians in America? I want to continue to expand on these issues. Some fascinating things I'm going to share with you in a little while. But I want to give you an opportunity to partner with us. Just met with dozens of senior pastors here in Long Island, put into each of their hands a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. We have just sent out 60 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to key African-American pastors across the country. I want to do something that will bless you and you partner with us. Are you ready? For your gift of $50, I'm going to send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which either you don't have yet and you absolutely need to have, or you can give to a friend or colleague. We'll also send you a copy of my message, Holy Desperation, which is one of the most important messages I've ever preached. You can listen to it in your CD player, in your car, in your computer. And then we will, in your name, send out two books to these different pastors and leaders. You will be sponsoring two copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's about $100 of material. You'll get some, and we'll send the others on. So you'll be blessed, and you'll help us bless others. Would you call and partner with us right now? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. $50 gift. We'll send you a copy of a book, Queer Thing Happened to America, a copy of my CD message, Holy Desperation, and we'll send out, sponsored by you, two copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to key leaders in America. 1-800-278-9978. Let's go and make our mark for the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the line of fire as I come your way from Long Island. Not far from where I grew up on Long Island, a little town between Oceanside and Long Beach called Island Park. A family moved there when I was just about 7 years old and lived there until I got married in 1976. And not far from the house there, there are these smokestacks, Long Island Lighting Company, LILCO, the smokestacks. If you live on the island, many of you know them. The tall one's about 300 feet high. How do I know that? I'll tell you in a second. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The number to call to get in the conversation in the program with me today. The question I'm asking is, do you expect persecution, physical persecution, attack on believers because we are believers here in America? Do you expect that to be coming in the future? Before I was saved, in my getting high years, ages 14 to 16, when I smoked every drug you could smoke and shot every drug you could shoot, and God mercifully delivered me and saved me and spared me and turned my life around so radically in 1971. How do I know how tall the smokestack was? Well, we climbed it twice. We were looking for a new thrill. My friends and I were looking for something new to do, and we thought that if we went up the smokestack there and got high on the top of it, it had a ladder going up the side. And then once you got partway up, there was like something behind you, a protective cage behind you. It was a pretty tight fit. And we went all the way up, and we counted. We measured 1 foot space on these rungs and counted 300 rungs. Got to the top, and the thing was blowing in the wind. And it's obviously made to move, but we didn't know that. You know, we'd never been up on something like that and lit up a joint and got high. And I remember saying to one of my friends, because he had just started going to church, but he wasn't really submitted to the Lord yet. The second time we did this, I said, what happens if I fall? And he said, well, just say I received Jesus as my Savior before I hit the ground. I mean, it was just insane. That's part of the craziness. There are other things we did that were crazier. It was right here on Long Island. God had mercy on me, and God turned me around. And last year, I was spending some time with my wonderful mom, and just talking about the way I lived and the foolishness of it and how she and my dad just didn't know what to do. I want to encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you. Maybe you've got a loved one. Maybe you've got your own kid that's messed up. Maybe someone real close to you, another family member or friend you're praying for, and they're very lost and they're in rebellion. If God could save me, if God could turn me around, if my own testimony could literally be from LSD to PhD, if God could now raise me up to be a national voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution when I was shooting heroin at the age of 15, and even broke into a local doctor's office to steal drugs just for the fun of it to see what we could find, if I was living in that decadence, and worst of all, full of pride and rebellion, if God could have mercy on me, he could have mercy on anyone. Don't give up with your praying. Many a night in the Brownsville Revival, as we sat there on Friday night services, we were there four nights a week, four or five nights every week, but on the Friday night service, we'd have water baptisms. Many a night, we heard men testify, men bigger than me. I'm 6'3", over 250 pounds. I'm a big guy. We'd hear guys bigger than me standing there blubbering with tears. I was in sin, but mama kept praying for me. These big, strong men, blubbering. Mama didn't give up praying for me. And now they're following the Lord and on fire and in ministry. So being on the island, I think a lot of my past and what God saved me out of over 40 years ago. And I want to bring you that word of encouragement. Hold on. Hold on to God. Hold on to the promise. That person that seems so lost could turn around and be one of the most aggressive, effective, God-used evangelists in the world. Don't lose hope. Where there's life and breath, there's hope. Okay, back with your calls on the subject of persecution.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-348-7884. Website, askdrbrown.org. Look, a lot of what I do is going to get rejected and opposed, and I'll get mocked for it. And verbally, at least, I'll get persecuted for it. And in some parts of the world, could be physically attacked. And we've had numerous events now in the States where people have wanted me to have physical security, or places have insisted we do, even though I didn't personally feel it was necessary. We actually had to have paid physical security on the premises. Now, what's the difference between that, knowing that I'm being rejected for the gospel or for speaking the truth, with now being impervious to correction? That no one can speak a word to me that I listen to because I'm being persecuted. See, people can get that mentality. On the other hand, some people are so self-critical that they take even persecution and outright destructive words of criticism and try to reflect on it in a way that's harmful. So how do we find that fine line of knowing that we know we're doing the will of God and nothing's going to stop us, and at the same time being humble, open, and willing to receive correction? I'll tell you, a lot of it comes from being secure in the Lord. A lot of it comes from saying, I'm secure in the Lord. I know God's my Father. I have a healthy relationship with Him. My life is given over to Him. And if someone speaks truth to me, I'm willing to receive it. And even in the midst of an attack, if there's truth to learn from, I'm going to learn it because I've got nothing to defend. I'm secure in the Lord. When you know that you know you're doing as well and opposition comes, it should actually encourage you. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. But I pulled out this book off the shelf the other day called Rotten Reviews and Rejections. And it's actually a compilation of short paragraphs, single lines about some of the most famous authors, some of the most famous books, basically in American history, some in British history, the English language anyway. Very, very famous rejection letters to authors and their classics. Here, I just open up to this at random. Rudyard Kipling, all right? San Francisco Examiner rejected him, 1889. I'm sorry, Mr. Kipling, you just don't know how to use the English language. how about this? John Quincy Adams, one of our American founders. Memoirs, 1830. This is what he had to say about Lord Byron, the poet. His versification is so destitute of sustained harmony. Many of his thoughts are so strained, his sentiments so unamiable, his misanthropy so gloomy, his libertinism so shameless, his merriment such a grinning of a ghastly smile that I have always believed his verses would soon rank with forgotten things. How about this? A children's books review of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. We fancy that any real child might be more puzzled than enchanted by this stiff, overwrought story. Some of the most famous classics of all time got rejected and mocked by their contemporaries, and they've lived on to the point that contemporaries are forgotten, and the books have become lauded and praised through the generations. If we know we're doing right, if we know that one day we'll stand before God and He will say, well done, if we know that is the case, friends, then under no circumstances should we be moved or put off by opposition. In fact, we should pity it, knowing that those opposing the gospel and opposing righteousness are on the wrong side of history. 866-34-TRUTH. What about physical persecution coming to America? Eileen in Coram on Long Island, do you think that Christians in America will suffer physical persecution in coming years?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I believe that we're in the beginning of heavy duty persecution. I teach Sunday school. I have fifth and sixth graders. When we were discussing persecution of the church, I said, you know, someday it may be illegal to hold one of these, and I held up the Bible, and one of the girls laughed, and I said, are you allowed to bring your Bible to school? And she said, no. And the thing that struck me, I said, are you allowed to pray in school? And she said, no. I said, are you allowed to wear your cross in school? And she said, no. And I said, and I looked at them, I said, what will happen if you do? And she said, we'll get suspended. But when I looked at all the children, I looked at fear in their eyes. They were afraid to speak the gospel. And that's stunning to me, that children know to be afraid. That's the beginning. They're already being persecuted when they're afraid.
Now, let me ask you one thing. You're saying that they told you in their school they can't wear a cross?
Yep. Unless it's a rosary. They can wear a rosary because apparently that's a fashion statement.
Now, this has actually come up. I mean, I follow a lot of things in schools and hear a lot of reports around America. I haven't heard this, though. So this is, I'm not questioning you because these are kids you're talking to, and this is what they said. How did you know that, to ask that question?
Because it was rumored that the kids were not allowed to to wear crosses in school.
Wow. And so you asked that question, and they said they couldn't. Hey.
Yeah, and they said they can wear the rosary because they're allowed to wear rosaries, and I'm just assuming that it's because it's the fashion thing, or
yeah,
that
it's just so gang-related,
where, you know, many of the rougher people, you know, in the schools, the older, tougher guys, are not going to take the crosses.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, just the question you asked about bringing their Bible to school, even if they were allowed to, the fact that they would know that they would be mocked, the fact that they know if they, even as a fifth grader or sixth grader, that it would go against the grain, there is a tremendous intimidation already just for standing up for righteousness. And obviously, if kids hear from other kids in other parts of the world who are standing for righteousness, even though their parents have been beaten, standing for righteousness, even though they watch other family members going to jail, there's a stark reality. But Eileen, thank you for raising that, and thank you for having that platform with these kids. Continue to speak righteousness to them. We need courage, friends. I met with leaders on Long Island. One reason I take the stands I take is to obey the Lord, and another reason is to impart courage to others. I hope I impart courage to you by speaking the truth in love here on the radio. Angel in New Milford, New Jersey. What's your take?
First of all, Dr. Brown, I just want to say what an honor and privilege to be talking to you. Thank you so much. I definitely feel, yes, I totally agree with the previous caller. I see a big Antichrist spirit rising up in this country. And you know what? Christians like me definitely... You know what, Dr. Brown, please keep me in your prayers, because I have one foot outside the church and one foot in the world. I'm sorry, one in the world and one in the church. And I'm just being honest, because I'm talking to who can possibly... I see you even as a martyr. I believe that men like you, in the coming days, as this Antichrist spirit continues to grow and with unstable politicians... because that's another big problem, the unstable politicians. So, I wouldn't be surprised if men like you and also some women out there even became martyrs.
Yeah, well, Angel, the first thing is we gave our lives to the Lord when we were born again. In other words, when Jesus became Lord and we understood what that meant, that means we follow him by life or by death, not for the conveniences, not for the blessings. So we, in that sense, have crossed that line that our lives don't belong to us. They belong to him. And it's our honor to stand for him, to bear reproach for him, to live for him, to die for him. I want to encourage you, though, Angela. I appreciate the kind words. I just want to encourage you that now is the time to make sure that you have both feet planted solidly in the Lord, because there's a real devil that just looks for an open door, wants to hurt, wants to destroy. Ever possible, take your full refuge in Jesus, Angel. Don't let anything pull you away and pull you into the way of the world, because there's nothing there that'll do you any good. And you stand firm as a witness. Thank you, though, for the kind words. And by God's grace, we are moving forward, not backwards. Let me say this again. Persecution, when rightly related to, strengthens us. When we rightly respond, instead of responding with fear, instead of backing down and compromising and trying to figure out, okay, if I preach it this way, then people will like, if I say it like this, and the political calculations rather than speaking the truth of the gospel. If we do that, we lose our lives already. If we cross that line and say, Lord, I live to do your will, regardless of what happens, then we die to this world. Now we live to do the will of God. And the opposition reminds us we're doing the right thing. In other words, when I see someone lying about me online or speaking lies about me or accusing me of false things, I know that's the spirit of falsehood reminding me that I'm of the truth, and therefore we stand all the more firmly. Jesus being our example, who went before us and didn't shrink from obedience because of the price. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Question for you. Would you rather be accepted and praised by this generation only to be recognized as a corrupt fraud for the rest of history? Would you rather be rejected by this generation and recognized by the rest of history as standing for righteousness? Or let's put it another way. Would you rather have the praises of people today and the rejection of God in the future, or the rejection of people today and the praises of God in the future? Ah, these things affect you, don't you? A lot of times when people come against me, when I know I'm doing right, I feel sorry for them because I know sooner or later they're going to realize this is God's cause. Not because Mike Brown's doing it. No. No, when we do God's work and we know it's God's work, when we're sharing Jesus with lost people, when we're sharing Jesus with those who mock and reject, you feel bad for them. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. And you feel bad for them because you know one day every knee is going to bow, either in worship and adoration or in acknowledgement, but every knee is going to bow. 866-34-TRUTH. Are you living in the light of eternity? Jonathan Edwards, great philosopher, theologian, key leader in early American history, died in the mid-1700s, used to pray, stamp eternity on my eyes. The question I put out through the broadcast, do you expect physical persecution to come the way of American Christians in the future, like in other countries where people are killed for the gospel? Do you expect that to happen here in America? Emerson in Beaumont, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I pastor a church in Groves in Texas, and yes, I go from door to door, and yes, I experience persecution. We're going to experience persecution. Matter of fact, I always say to myself before I go anywhere, I say, dead men have no fear. I think about Galatians 2:20. Also, I have to remind myself that it says in 2 Timothy 3:12 that the godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Mm-hmm. Yes, we must understand that, yes, it's going to come. It's going to come.
Emerson, you've already preached two very strong sermons to us in a second or two, that dead men have no fear, Galatians 2:20, that we have died and we're crucified with Christ, and the life we now live is by faith of the Son of God. He is the one, Jesus the Messiah, lives in us. And then from 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. And bless you for going door to door and standing up for truth. And obviously, you're a human being. You have to remind yourself of these truths to strengthen yourself. But why do you feel that in the future it's going to get worse and say, as happened in Muslim countries and communist countries, that there is going to be outright physical persecution of believers in America in the coming days?
Well, you got to understand, it says in 1 John 2:16 that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to see in the world the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This right here is the theme of the world today. If you're standing against that, then you know that they're going to come against you. You're focusing on Jesus. Jesus speaks against that. Jesus speaks against that and speaks against the things of this world. The spirit of the Antichrist, we must realize that it is against Christ. If you're standing up for Christ, people are going to come against you.
Yep.
We must realize that the time that we're living in is going to get worse because nowadays it's more accepted. I was speaking to the congregation. I told them about that Jesus said in Matthew 19:4. He said, a man and a woman. As soon as some people they get mad when they hear that. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. I'd rather have God happy and you mad than God upset and you happy.
Exactly. And Emerson, just to jump in, I'm here in Long Island. I met with pastors this morning. And one of my former students is bivocational. He's a school teacher in the public schools, high school teacher, and pastors a small church. And the back window of his car, he's got a bumper sticker on the lower part of the back window, and it just says, marriage, still, man and a woman. That's it. Marriage equals man and a woman. That's what it says. They've had people drive next to him, cursing them out, follow him, slamming them on, you know, beeping the horn, just because they're saying what has been the case from the beginning, from what God established and throughout all human history without exception until very recently in a few different places. So you're right, sir. We don't necessarily have to understand all the prophecies, and we can differ on that. But if we just say, okay, is America getting more worldly? Is America departing more and more from biblical foundations? Yes. Well, then what happens when you stand for righteousness? In the midst of it, there is persecution, opposition. Emerson, I've got to run. Do you have my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War?
No, sir. No.
All right. Stay right there, Emerson. As soon as Andrew gets a moment, Andrew, I want you to get on with Emerson. Get Pastor Emerson's address. I want to send him as a gift my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. Okay, our phone lines are jammed. Stay with me, friends, all right? I'm going to keep taking calls right on into the beginning of the next hour, and I'm going to get to all of you. So stay with me. Just a few minutes from now, I'll get to more calls. If you're listening and your radio station is about to leave, it can't be on 2 hours everywhere, at least not yet. Go online, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire, and you can keep listening online. If you're listening on Long Island, WLIX is now carrying the second hour just today because I'm broadcasting from the island before flying home tonight. So keep listening on WLIX. Stay on the line. I will get to your calls shortly. Friends, I'm encouraging you to partner with us and help us as we're on the front lines. We so desperately need to get copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of leaders all over America. We've sent out a lot without having sponsors for books we sent out. We just did it as unto the Lord. Would you partner with us? Your gift of $50 not only helps us with this radio broadcast, but we'll send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Either you don't have it, and you got to have it. You can't not have it in this day and age. Or you have it, and you can get it to someone else. You really know how important it is. Plus, my message, audio message, Holy Desperation, one of the most God-hungry messages I've ever preached in my life, and the impact of that message on those who heard it has been dramatic and life-changing. So we'll send you the book and the CD, plus you will be sponsoring two books. In God's sight, you'll get credit for this, for two books, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that will go to key pastors or have already gone to key pastors here, national leaders, key leaders in America. So would you partner with us to help us get to more and more people with this critical life and death message? Your $50 gift. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can just go online to askdrbrown.org. And you'll be able to do that there later today. Again, number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Stand strong, friend. When folks come with godly correction that can help us grow in the Lord, hear it, receive it. When people come to attack and destroy, if there's any truth, glean it, and otherwise walk away, ignore it. When it's persecution for the gospel, stand strong. Friends, my bottom line today, Jesus said, the master, the servant is not above the master. The student is not above the disciple. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If the master of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the servants of his household? It is our honor. What's the difference between constructive correction, destructive criticism, and outright persecution? And how do we respond to these things?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you are on Long Island right now and hearing my voice and saying, I'm listening to WLIX, where's Shannon, afternoon drive? Ah, Michael Brown continuing The Line of Fire just today with you an extra hour. Is just on from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, New York time. I'm going to be on with you from 3 to 4 as well. Everyone listening on stations that are familiar with me being here, welcome. It is the right broadcast. I'm ministering from the WLIX studios on Long Island. And we're doing an extra hour for our Long Island friends today. This is where I grew up, moved here when I was almost 7, grew up on Long Island, got lost on Long Island, got saved on Long Island, started preaching and ministering on Long Island. So I've got a lot of roots here, and it's my delight to be coming your way. I've got a really important subject to talk to you about, one that will be helpful in your personal life and could be a matter of life and death in coming days. Here's the number to call to get in the discussion, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. There is something very important in Scripture, which is correction. Do this. Do a little study. Go through the book of Proverbs, all right? Go through the book of Proverbs. And look up everything it says about rebuke and correction. It's very intense. There's a lot of stuff there. Open rebuke is better than secret love, Proverbs 27. There's a number of times in Proverbs, the theme, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Over and over, we're told to receive correction, to receive rebuke. I've done whole classes. I don't mean multi-week classes, but whole two-hour classes on the importance of correction. And when Paul speaks to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the end of the third chapter, beginning of the fourth chapter, he tells him explicitly that the word of God is to be used for correction and even rebuke. So there's something wonderfully life-giving to correction, to rebuke. And if we're secure enough in the Lord, if we're confident enough in the Lord and resting enough in the Lord, then someone can come and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate that. Just like a coach telling the team, okay, you guys are doing this wrong. Do this. Yes, coach. Thank you. Why? Because they all want to win. Then there's something which is destructive. Destructive criticism. Just negative, fault-finding, not accurate, not life-giving. When destructive criticism comes our way, what we need to do is see, is there any truth to it? Because you don't want to write everything off as if everybody's a crackpot and nobody's got anything to speak into your life, because you can fall into self-righteousness and pride and deception in a hurry if you do that. So what you want is to have an attitude of humility and security in the Lord. I'll talk about that more later in the broadcast. And if there's destructive criticism, it's like, yeah, there's one line there that's accurate. I have to grow in that. I'll have to work on that. And the other stuff, that's not from a constructive, helpful viewpoint, throw it out. But then there's something else. There's outright persecution. There are words spoken against us that are out to destroy. They are lies. They are based on lies. They are coming from a different spirit and a different kingdom. And when they come our way for the gospel, we should rejoice. When they come our way for the gospel, we should recognize we're being treated like the prophets of old, and we rejoice in God. What's interesting, though, and I've been hearing from callers already today, we're about to hear from more. There are many who say that persecution, not just verbal persecution, but physical persecution, physical attack for the faith, is coming our way here in America, just like in Muslim countries, communist countries, Buddhist, Hindu countries. What do you think? You think physical persecution for the gospel is coming our way here in America?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My joy to come your way today here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, absolutely delighted to be with you, broadcasting from Long Island, where I've been ministering this weekend and just did a pastor's meeting, finished ministering here, and then get ready to fly home. 866-348-7884. Do you believe that physical persecution is coming our way here in America, that Christians will be attacked, physically attacked, maybe put in jail, maybe killed, tortured for the faith as has happened for 2,000 years, as is happening around the world today, even as we speak? Do you think it's coming our way? Yesterday, our older daughter, Jennifer, turned 35. Is that wild or what? I was with a former student of mine that babysat our kids when they were little on the island. We'd have students from the ministry school would babysit them and talking to him. And he said, how old? So now I said, 35. 35! Well, time doesn't stop for anybody, right? Well, last week, Jen went to pick up her daughter, our youngest granddaughter, Riley, went to pick her up. And when she got to the school where Riley was, she went in and there was no one there. They were all downstairs in the basement because there had been a tornado warning. Well, Jen was in the car, actually saw the storm, but was in the car, didn't know about this. When she gets there, lo and behold, everybody's down there in the basement because of tornado watch. We've had some hurricanes come through places where I've lived over the years, Long Island a couple of times, and you prepare. Hurricanes coming. Sometimes they board up the windows. Sometimes you evacuate areas or you get to a safe spot in the house, depending on the severity of things. It makes sense if something's coming that you prepare. Now, I know a lot of Christians over the years, they'd say there's going to be a food shortage and we're going to hoard food now for when the food shortage comes. Of course, the problem is that if you're going to keep food, say, in your basement in case a famine comes, are you saving it for yourself or what about your neighbor that's going to starve? And then one Vietnam vet, a Green Beret, said to me years ago, he said, if you're hoarding food, you're going to have to hoard guns, too, because once the starving neighbors find out you're the only one with food, the only way you're going to keep them away is to shoot them. So there are different questions that come up when we talk about that. But what about persecution? If you believe that persecution is coming our way here in America, and feel free to say you don't, thus far, every caller last hour said they expect it. They expect it to be coming our way. So here's the question. If that's the case, if it's going to be coming our way and you believe that, what should we be doing about it? What should our attitude be? How do we prepare for that? I don't mean that we start having people waterboard us so that we can get ready for torture or you know, that we practice being locked in a cell. But what should our attitude be? What should our preaching be like? What should our thinking be like? How can we better turn our attitude if you believe these things are coming? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, back to the phones. Patrice in Tuckahoe in New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? God bless you. I just want to say thank you for standing on truth. What comes to my mind as far as the Christians being persecuted in the future, as well as now, as well as the Jewish people, what comes to my mind is there is a chapter in the Bible in Ephesians, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual war in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand powerful in this aspect of persecution against Christians, as well as anybody who stands up for the word of God. That says it all. I mean, we are being persecuted and we're going to be persecuted more because we're standing for truth. And the adversary does not like that. And he's getting scared. He's getting literally frightened because he knows the time is of essence and the day is here, the day of renewal I mean, there are so many people turning to God right now. I mean, so many Jewish people, which is just a miracle to me, turning to Christ like yourself. People who are receiving the Lord and standing on the promises of the Lord. But I just feel one thing. I feel that everybody should pick up the Word of God, which is a powerful tool in our lives to stand against this persecution, because God tells us everything that we need in His Word of God to stand on us, to protect ourselves against this battle. We do
right,
not
so,
rest
so in other words, and I appreciate what you're saying and the perspective you have, just getting stronger in God, just growing as people of faith, just being able to use the promises of God and speak the
exactly.
truth and hide ourselves
His
in Him.
Truth.
Right.
I mean,
and remind ourselves of what we're standing for, that is going to enable us to be strong. Just like, say, an athlete, if someone just trains in general to get in better shape and to have better cardio endurance and better
that's
strength,
right.
whatever sport they engage in, they'll be better equipped for it. So there are things in the Word. In other words, we don't have to go outside of the Word to prepare ourselves. Hey, Patrice, thank you for weighing in. Look, if it's a greater harvest time, you better believe there's going to be more opposition. 866-34-TRUTH. Marla in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown?
Hello.
Dr.
Brown. Yes, Maria, I'm sorry. I have a different computer in front of me, and
right.
my screen is a little smaller there. Thanks for catching that, Joey. Yeah,
sure.
Maria in Miami, that's you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. God bless you. Double portion of Holy Spirit for you, because you are a leader. We need leader.
Thank you.
Dr. Brown, I think like all the people before me said, that is so evident, the sign. You can really guess what is going to happen in the near future. I see it really clear. There is no crosses. They don't want Ten Commandments. They don't need any sign of God externally in this world. So the new generations are not going to see any signs, except if they are in the Christian, home.
Maria, in the first hour, a woman called in from here on Long Island who is teaches a Sunday school class with fifth and sixth graders. And when she was talking to the kids about persecution and they were, didn't think it could happen, she began to ask them questions about could they bring their Bibles to school or speak openly about their faith. And, she saw fear from the kids about openly talking about their faith in fifth or sixth grade. And you think of that, why in the world would they have that environment, that thought of fear, unless there's hostility towards the faith, even in the school system? Maria, thanks for weighing in, and thanks for your prayers for me for strength and anointing in the Spirit. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm just looking at some comments on my Facebook page. I just put up the question, do you believe that physical persecution for the gospel is coming our way here in America, just as it exists in Muslim and communist countries? Check this comment out from Mike. In my home city of Calgary in Canada, there are several mosques, and this used to be a Bible Belt. Things can change. I mentioned this in the first hour. Let me repeat it. When I was in England preaching in 1987, I was in a city called Luton. And while I was there, to my surprise, I hear a prayer call, an Islamic prayer call in the morning in the city of Luton. Huh? And the pastor said, yeah, churches wanted to buy property in the city and they were denied. A mosque wanted to buy property. They let them buy the property. Now we have that prayer call every morning broadcasting out. I saw a video online recently of Luton where there were hundreds of Muslims marching down the street and women covered head to toe. And they were basically chanting death to the UK, and they hated the UK and the UK police, and they could go to hell. And there's the Muslims in Luton. And when I was there, I preached, and I said, can you guarantee me, can you show me that England will not become an Islamic country in the years to come? I mean, they looked at me like I was from Mars. But I understand that on a given week, on a Friday, and a Sunday, there are more Muslims going to mosques on Friday than Christians going to church services on Sunday. It's remarkable. Things shift. What happens if in the midst of a heavenly Islamic area, say Dearborn, Michigan, revival breaks out and these Muslims start coming to faith? Do you think that there would be some persecution of those Muslims? And do you think if you were there preaching the gospel as a non-Muslim and calling on Muslims to turn to faith in a heavenly Islamic part of America, that there wouldn't be persecution? And if these things are promised, Jesus says in Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who lives a godly life in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. If it happens in other parts of the world and we stand for righteousness here, what makes us think that we won't be persecuted? Back with a lot more.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. Again, to all of my WLIX listeners today, this is Michael Brown. I'm normally on 2 to 3, but broadcasting from the LIX studios on Long Island, we're doing an extra hour today, 3 to 4, and then Shannon will be on with her normal afternoon drive following me, but we will drive you deeper before you get to the afternoon drive. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're talking about several things today: constructive correction, destructive criticism, and outright persecution, and how we distinguish between them, how we respond to them. But there's been a tremendous interest from our callers and folks weighing in on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, AskDR Brown, one word on Facebook, about the issue: is persecution coming to America the way it exists in other countries? Almost everyone that's been weighing in so far has said yes. A young man whose views I respect weighed in on my Facebook page and said no, he doesn't think it's going to come. He said there'll always be rejection of the gospel and pushback on social issues, which it stands opposed to, but systematic physical persecution by the government is much less likely given constitutional law in America. The structure of American government would have to radically change in order for such persecution to become a regular reality, I believe. Well, first, government's changed a whole lot. I mean, I think it's a great point. I respect the point. But hey, government's changed a whole lot. And things that used to be celebrated in our government now are reviled and ridiculed today. That's one thing. And another thing is there can be popular persecution. It doesn't have to be government sponsored. There can be popular persecution where it's just too unpopular to stand for the gospel. And because of crowd mentality or domineering mentality or activist mentality, whatever the group is, you get attacked, you get persecuted, you get killed. The Columbine killers singled out Christians in their school. I had felt strongly in my heart and spoke this before, maybe a year or two before the Columbine killings, that there was going to be Christian blood shed in America because of the gospel, and it would begin with the blood of teens in our schools. I said this publicly. I felt it strongly. And sure enough, the Columbine killers targeted kids in their school that were Christians. I think it was almost half of those killed or wounded were known to be committed Christians in the school. That's what local pastors in the greater Denver area told me when I met with them. And then, of course, some were singled out, like Rachel Scott, singled out because of her Christian testimony, singled out on a video in advance by the killers as someone that they hated. So it does not have to be government-sponsored for it to be epidemic across the country. But what do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Marlon in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Good, thank you. I'm sorry. You know, I did this. I did it with Maria. I called Maria Marla. I called Marion Marlin. Hey, hang on. You know what I'm going to do? 1 second. I'll get my glasses here, okay? Because with my glasses, I can see. All right. It's got a smaller computer screen, and the I and the L kind of blend.
Look alike.
All right. Joey, you're keeping me on my toes today. I am so sorry. Marion, not Marlin, Marion in Boston. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Please go ahead.
When I heard Boston, I knew you were talking about me. So
yeah, I know. I got to get it right, though.
my station actually went off almost a half an hour ago, but I hung on because this topic is dear to my heart. Only because a couple of things. I always agree with you, and you always make the points I was going to make before I take the call, and I don't want to hang up. So I agree with you totally, but I think what we're missing and what I'm finding, some of the largest persecution and largest pressure and the largest issues coming against us is from within the body of Christ itself. We've become so complacent and full of compromise that those who are taking a stand, like the pastor said, we're literally being criticized. But I was taught by my pastor dad that criticism is not always bad. I believe you look at it, listen to it, see if any of it applies. If it does, correct it, move on. If it doesn't apply, learn for it and let it push you forward so that it doesn't wound you in your spirit. Persecution, if we don't realize it by now as the body of Christ that we're going to be persecuted, then we've missed the boat.
Mm.
We're so busy not becoming Christ-like that we forget we will be persecuted.
All right. Well, why is it so, Marion, why is it so clear to you that there's going to be greater persecution of believers in America in the coming days?
Well, because first of all, I believe the word of God is true, and it doesn't have to be America. We could be this. We could be attached to Europe or South Africa. It's going to happen in the world, period. Mm-hmm. We've got to expect that and not take it personal. I mean, personal to the point where it's coming against me. They did it to Christ. Listen, they crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Why then are we so surprised when we ourselves are persecuted when we're supposed to be coming bond servants of Christ?
Right. Didn't he say that the servant is not greater than the master?
Not greater than, absolutely.
Right.
But,
and if they persecuted him, they persecute us, which means if we were more like him, and he was not obnoxious, he was not self-righteous, he was full of compassion and truth and love, laid his life down for a sinning world, but the light in him exposed the darkness in others. It makes people uncomfortable.
Because of that, they
often fight against the truth. Jesus said, if the master of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the servants of his household? Hey, Marion, I'm glad you didn't hang up. I'm glad you got your 2 cents in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you. Yeah. I mean, I know that happens. You call in, you're about to make a point and I make it on the radio, but hey, you may make it a little differently. So if you've been hanging on hold, you get in and share your 2 cents as well. Okay. Phone lines are jammed. Keep trying to get through 866-34-TRUTH or go to my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. It's all one word. Weigh in there. Join the discussion. I'm going to get back to your calls. I'm going to give a few more thoughts about receiving correction, rejecting destructive criticism with discernment, embracing persecution, how we respond to these different things. I'm going to take all your calls. I believe I can get to everybody today because we're going to go for it, give you as much air time as we can. Would you join with me in an important endeavor? Many of you know that we have sent out several hundred copies, given away hundreds of copies total of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is a book that, by God's grace and direction, I wrote to awaken the conscience of the nation. It has been placed directly in the hands of some of the leading political candidates in America, some key professors, some key Baptist leaders, some key African-American leaders. Just gave copies away to 40 or 50 pastors here on Long Island. Would you partner with us for your gift of $50 today? Not only do you help us with this radio show, but think of it. We'll send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which either you don't have yet, which means you need to get, or you already have. You know how important it is. You want to give it out to someone else. We'll also send you a copy of a CD message of mine, Holy Desperation, which is one of the most important life-changing messages I've ever preached. All right? Both of those resources we'll send to you, and then you will get credit for sponsoring 2 books that get into the hands of key leaders in America, 2 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. So $50 doesn't even pay for 2 books retail value, but you'll get credit for 2 books that go out, plus get your own book and a copy of Holy Desperation. Would you partner with us and stand together? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. If you want to do it for several, do multiple copies, just let our folks know. 1-800-278-9978. Yes, together we're making a difference, and the name of Jesus is being exalted.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
About 24 minutes ago, I posted this question on Facebook. Do you believe that physical persecution for the gospel is coming our way here in America just as it exists in Muslim and communist countries? Getting a lot of comments, almost everyone, I think there's one so far, that said they don't expect it. Everyone else said yes. I've been taking calls on this for an hour and a half now. Basically, every caller said they expect that persecution, physical persecution of believers, will come our way here in America. Now, if you have a different view, join in the conversation. Either way, 866-34-TRUTH. But one comment I just noticed, which I think says it all, why wouldn't it come here? The church, as it stand, if it stands up, is the target of the common culture. Wear it as a badge of honor. Why wouldn't it come here? Didn't Paul say in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? Didn't Jesus say in John 15, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first? He said, if you were of the world would love you as its own, because the world loves its own. But because you're not of the world, he said, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. They will hate us because we identify with Jesus. They will hate us because the light in us exposes the darkness in them. They will hate us because they say there's only one way. They will hate us because some are just demonized in their fight against us as a fight against God. But we should expect persecution and opposition and God's strength and grace in the midst of it. And, friends, the gospel is a threat to the system of the world. The gospel is a threat to the dead religious system. And when God really moves through his people and we stand up for what is right, it's inevitable that persecution comes. Now, I want to get to all your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. But I want to sort out something very important for you. By the way, if you're listening on WLIX, wondering, weren't I on? Wasn't this guy on from 2 to 3? Yeah, I'm on an extra hour today because we're broadcasting live from the WLIX studios. So thanks for being with me on the air this extra hour on Long Island. Okay, where I was raised and fell into sin and got saved. There are times when we are corrected. And throughout the word, we're told how life-giving correction is, how the rebuke of the righteous brings life, and you rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you for it. That we need to be secure enough in the Lord that we're not so ripped up by human opinion. That when someone speaks the truth to us and says, you know, you really need to pray about this because you got some issues here. When someone speaks the truth to us and say, you know, your message, it was full of arrogance. You really need to step back and consider that. When someone speaks the truth to us and says, you know, the way you treat your wife is criminal. You know, you call yourself a Christian. We need to be secure enough in the Lord to say, all right, I'm going to examine that. And to go back and thank that person and say, thank you for speaking the truth to me. I needed that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, it says in Proverbs 27. There is, though, destructive criticism. I was writing something that somebody wrote about me, and I looked at it, and I thought, it's not true. I was looking to try to find anything true because I'm secure enough in the Lord that even in the midst of destructive criticism and hate mail, I've sometimes shown it to Nancy and just said, you think there's any truth to that? I say, the person's a crackpot. She said, yeah, it's clear they're a crackpot, but you think there's any truth to that? It's like, that point, I could see that. So if there's anything worthwhile for us, anything we can grow from, even in words of destructive criticism, we take it in and praise the Lord and grow from it and cast off the other stuff and often recognize that that other stuff, the negative, is the opposite of what the truth is about us. But then when there's outright persecution, when we're getting maligned and hated and spoken against for the gospel, you just rejoice and you praise God and you consider it an honor. When people call me all kinds of names because I stand up for the truth and I stand up for what's right, when people malign me, it encourages me, it strengthens me, it gives me further courage to do what's right because their error exposes their side and reminds me of the truth for which I stand.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, there are folks who have a persecution complex. And when you try to speak into their lies, when you try to correct them, when you try to help them, they say, that's just persecuting me for the gospel. And there's no such thing. They're flaky. They have character issues. They're not submitted to authority. They don't receive correction from anyone. And they think everything's persecution. Dangerous. There are others who so want to honor authority and do what's right and receive correction that when people speak against them for doing what's right, they don't know how to respond to that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So what we have is the ability to receive correction and a track record of humbling ourselves and apologizing when we're wrong and growing in grace and understanding that all of us are works in progress in the Lord and that open rebuke is better than secret love. And by the way, you don't rebuke an elder or older person. You appeal graciously. But all of us are going to receive correction until the day we die, either from the Lord or from people who love us. And if it's for a good, great. There are times when I'll ask Nancy to read something of mine that I've written, and I want her to praise it and say it's the greatest thing she's ever seen in her life, and she can't believe it came from my hands. It's like amazing. And she'll look at it instead and say, nah, that doesn't start well. So what do you mean? I mean, it's my masterpiece. Nah, it doesn't start well. What do you mean? She said, it's like stupid the way it starts. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you look at it, figure it out. You're the writer. And I'll go back. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, now I see it from your angle. Got it. And I'll look at it. She goes, yeah, much, much better. Well, why is she telling me that? Because she's trying to help me. Because she wants what I write to be as accurate and clear and powerful as possible. And I get frustrated sometimes because I just wanted to say it's great. But I know, and I remind myself, no, the input she's giving me is for my good. Then there's other stuff that's destructive. People who have bad attitudes or judge you or just out to get you. And they write stuff, and if you listen to that, man, it's totally deflating. I'll see, is there anything constructive in there that I can glean from? Otherwise, you just cast it off. But when it's persecution, when it's actually for standing up for what's right and doing what's right, I get encouraged by it. Look, I'll give you an example, and then I'm going to go right to the phones. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you expect increasing persecution, even physical persecution of believers to take place here in America, as it takes place in other countries? That's my question for you. But because I stand up against homosexual activism, at the same time we reach out to the homosexual community with the compassion and love of Jesus, we stand against the activism with courage. It's inevitable. You get called, well, you're just a repressed homosexual. You're a homophobe because you're a repressed homosexual. You always get hit with it. Well, as a heterosexual, as a healthy male, in love with my wonderful bride of 36 years and as a healthy male that needs to watch my eyes, not towards other men. I don't get tempted to look at men or think wrong thoughts about men or lust after men. I'm a healthy heterosexual. I get tempted, like others, to look at wrong things that have to do with other women. So I watch my eyes and I seek to please the Lord and live a holy life and a faithful life, right? Like other men following Jesus. When you get accused of that, it's a reminder that those accusing you are speaking falsehood. They're speaking from a spirit of error. When people say, well, you just wrote this book to make a bunch of money. And I know the money we had to believe for to get the book even published and how the facts that continue, the things that continue a loss financially, unless God does something unexpected. And the royalties normally assigned over to ministry for most all the books I write anyway. The fact of the matter is, when you hear stuff like that and you know it's false, that's a further encouragement that you're doing what's right. You see, the more falsehood that comes against you, pastors, leaders, hear me. When you speak the truth and you get nailed and someone says, you're just doing this out of personal ambition and you're just trying to create controversy to build a ministry, whereas you hate the controversy personally and the personal ambition got crucified 20 years ago, when you hear that, turn it around and say, that's the Lord saying to me, you're doing this for the right motivation. You're doing this for the right reason. I saw someone, there was a post, my attention got drawn to it, and the person called me a dangerous liar. And I thought, I said, praise God. You know what God's saying to me through that? You're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness because you're exposing lies. And then when I see the real spirit behind it that tries to silence us and cut us down and threaten us, all the more do I know we're doing the right thing. And that's why even in the midst of persecution, say Islamic persecution, where Christians are cut down, and it's very intimidating. Could you imagine the threat on your family, the threat on your individual life just for following Jesus? You may get sliced up or beheaded or your house burned down with your family inside it. That intimidation, what the fear would be like that believers have to battle with and overcome in Jesus. But when you see that ugly spirit, you know you're doing right. You know you love those people and pray for them, and they want to hate you and kill you. Then you know you're doing right. That encourages you that you are standing for what is right. You follow me. When you see the ugliness of the attacks that come against you, it encourages you. You're standing for what's right. Okay, back to the phones. Kevin in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Kevin.
Yes, Kevin, thank you.
Okay, real quick. I guess you could say that Christians always in America has been persecuted in some form or other, mostly verbally or ridiculed or ostracized from the peers and family, and mostly from different religions. I find that to be so because I was raised Catholic and then became a Christian, and my parents and my family, they gave it to me from 14 until I was pretty much a grown man. But one of the things I have as far as being persecuted verbally or being standing up for Jesus, you're going to always have that, you can always have opposition. But from my peers and people that I know who are Americans or Christians or people in general, whenever I stand up for Jesus and they call his name in vain, and you try to be as, it hurts your heart when people do it because, you know, that's one of the commands, the third command. And then in Philippians 2:9, it says the name above all names. So I play a little golf, and when people say God's name in vain, I look at it as an opportunity to say, nudge to them and say, hey, I didn't know you believe in God. And then most of the time they would, oh, man, excuse me. But then I've had people just really tell me like it is, you know.
Kevin, just to jump in, you know, the way you've been raised, the things you've heard, it's when you know that you love the people who are attacking you, love the people who are in spiritual blindness, love the people who are angry, you feel love for them. Their anger, their hatred, their malice, their anti-God sentiment, contrasted with your love, is another reminder that we're doing what is right and standing on the side of truth, which is why Jesus tells us to rejoice and be glad. Why the apostles, when they were flogged in Acts, the fifth chapter, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy of suffering reproach for the name of Jesus. Hey, the world's treating us the way it treated him. 866-34-TRUTH. Is it Mia or Maya in Peaksville, New York?
Yes.
How do you pronounce your name? Mia or Maya?
Maya.
Maya. All right. Thank you, Maya. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I'm so glad that I was able to get through. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to quote with regards to the persecution issue. I've been a Christian since I was 23, and I've been through a lot of persecution. And just with regards to there being governmental persecution, Proverbs 27:12, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And all of this new legislation and the Obama announcement, and I personally was on the streets of New York last year when the gay marriage law was passed here, and it was disappointing. But I was in the Village, and I forgot, about the climate down there, and I'd just forgotten about the new legislation, and I was down there. And I'm African-American, and I saw all of these African-American women in these disturbing homosexual relationships, just parading it out in the street and passing out pornography, and there were those rainbow flags everywhere, and it was just terrible. And it was, you could see the emotional disturbance that had happened in their life, and it being acted out. And I said to a group, I just couldn't hold my tongue, and I said,
there's no such thing as gay marriage. And those girls heckled me. They followed me for six blocks. They tried to incite people to attack me. They tried to attack me. They were running after me, and I just kept walking. And I told the police what was happening, but that's physical persecution. It's not an organized persecution. But
it is physical. Yeah, and let me just say this, and thank you for weighing in, and bless you for speaking the truth in the midst of that. People say, that's hate. No, that's the truth. That was a Christian speaking the truth in the midst of that situation. Friends, things are getting increasingly volatile here in America, and we need to be praying for the suffering church worldwide and to think along the lines of following Jesus at any cost.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to grab a few more calls. Again, if you're listening on Long Island, WLIX, we're broadcasting an extra hour today from the LIX studios before I fly home, and then your regular hosts will be joining you at 4. Everyone else, you're used to hearing my voice at this time. Every person so far who has called into the broadcast for almost 2 hours now said, yes, there will be an increase of persecution, physical attack for the faith here in America. That's been the viewpoint of everyone who's called. And I haven't read all the comments on my personal Facebook page and our ministry Facebook page, but almost every comment that I read, with the exception of maybe one or one and a half, has said, yes, they expect this to be coming. I want to take a moment before the broadcast's over to talk about things that we need to do if, in fact, this is true. Let me get to a few more calls. Regina in Durham, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, Regina. You're on the air.
Yes. I definitely feel like persecution is definitely here in America already, and it's just bound to get worse. I feel like that's the Word of God just revealing itself more and more in a way that we're supposed to guard it, is by just studying God's Word, staying in His Word, staying in fast on what we believe. And that's why I stress to my children, even having a 13-year-old daughter, you know, I want her to know God for herself. And I think that's the biggest way that we can fight the persecution that goes on. Because when you know that you know, it's like nothing else can go against that.
Yep. And that's right. That's the ultimate foundation of absolute rock solid confidence in who Jesus is and who we are in Him. Hey, Regina, thanks for the call, and thanks for ministering to your daughter in a way that the faith that you have becomes her own faith. 866-34-TRUTH. Lucas in Salt Lake. All right, we've lost Lucas. Let's go to Babs in Flanders, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, I definitely believe that persecution is going to continue and even get worse. I was reminded, David was called a man after God's own heart. And years ago, I read a story in the Bible where he was on a run from Saul, and some guy was throwing stones at him and calling him names. And David's, like, high up soldiers or something said, should we kill him or capture him or something? And David said, no. Let me pray and see if maybe what he's saying is true. And that's really what you are saying, more or less, that we should do, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the case of David, he was being cursed by Shimei, and he said, hey, if the Lord told him to curse me. He didn't retaliate, but then once he raised up Solomon, his son, he said, hey, Solomon, keep an eye on this guy because he did me harm. It's kind of interesting. Justice came later. But yeah,
so he took a warning and he passed that warning on to people.
Well, David was not going to retaliate in the heat of the moment, but later on he was going to make sure that there was justice for this man for the evil that he did. And there was just he had to cross a certain line, and if he did cross that line, he was going to pay for it, and that's what happened. But the bottom line is, for us as followers of Jesus, and thanks for the call, I appreciate it. For us as followers of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves a question, all right? And I just noticed a comment or two on my Facebook page with people saying, no way, no way persecution is ever going to come to America. All right, first, it's here in different ways already. People have been killed for the faith here in America. They were singled out because they were believers, and for that reason, they were killed. It has happened. It's not the norm by any means, but it has happened. And now people have lost jobs. There has been loss of religious freedoms, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, because they have gone against what is politically correct. They have suffered that kind of persecution. David Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh's brother, has an entire book called Persecution, where he talks about the type of persecution we have in America up to now. And it's a whole book on that subject. However, I have no reason to believe that we will not see greater physical persecution of believers here in America, because America is of the world. There is a remnant of believers within the nation, but when God talks about being in the world and not of it, America is of the world. We are a worldly, materialistic country. We are a country with all kinds of rampant sin. We are a country that is the world's leading exporter of pornography. We have more teenage drug use than any other country in the world. On and on. We have corruption in high places and low places. And Jesus said, if the world hated him, it will hate us. And Jesus made clear that the servant is not above the master. And if this is how the world treated him, how will we be treated? Why in the world won't it happen in America? On what basis would we say that? If Paul writes that everyone who lives a godly life in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution, why not here? The only way I see that it would not happen is if there is a big enough sweeping revival, a distinctive enough sweeping revival that brings such transformation to our country. That's the only way I see that we will not have physical persecution, because the godlessness of our society is such that if we stand up for what's right and go against the grain and swim against the tide, we will be persecuted for righteousness. It is inevitable. We see it verbally. We see it spiritually. We see it socially. We could see it physically as well. What do we do then? What do we do to prepare? Read about the suffering church. Read about those suffering for Jesus around the world. Pray for them. Begin to think along those lines in terms of standing up for righteousness. We've got a lot of ministry resources that tie in with the revolutionary spirit going against the grain. Take advantage of these, friends. Keep listening, because as you listen, you'll be strengthened to stand up and do what is right, regardless of cost or consequence. And the biggest thing, get closer to the Lord. His word in your heart, in your mind, get closer to the Lord. And as you do, following him will become more and more natural. And the more you're opposed, the stronger you'll get. All right, I want to give you a great opportunity to partner with us, and I want to appeal to you to partner with us. We have gotten hundreds of copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of key leaders all over the nation. Many of their names you would know. Some of them we hear back from immediately thanking us for the volumes that we've sent out freely. We want you to partner with us. And for your gift of $50, you will get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which either you own already and you can give to a friend, or you don't own, in which case you need to get it, along with my CD, an audio message, Holy Desperation, one of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life. You'll be impacted by it. And then we will send in your name two copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to key leaders in the nation, or those that have gotten them. They'll be sponsored in your name. Your gift of $50. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Jesus said to his disciples in the Beatitudes, in some of his very first teachings, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Great is the reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.